time for the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with host Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by technical editor Kara Pace, music critic Joshua Cosman.
If you ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this.
And it's gotta be our moderator, Mr. Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you, Damien, and welcome everybody to our show. Saturday morning, here we are. Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So naturally, what we are looking for is your participation. That's very, very important. We love to hear from you. And we do hope you will call with a question or to answer one of our questions. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. Yes, we have a toll free number, 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. If you choose not to call, and we do hope you choose to call, but if you choose not to call, you can email us, and that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And of course, with Damien here, the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time after our program today. And that will also be at kalw.org and many other places. But please start with KALW. That would be appreciated. All right. All that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. First of all, I want to say thank you to all those who took the time to pledge last week, all our continuing members and new members. Thank you very much. We appreciate your support for the show and the station. And we hope you will keep it up, and we will do the best show we can to make us worthy of your faith in us. All right. So as I said, we're going to start with the round introductions, and as soon as I can figure out where it is, I'm going to tell you. Okay, here we go. Kara Pace thought she was drowning, but it was just all this humidity.
I thought Orlando's 100% humidity without actually raining was bad, and it was, but the Bay Area is giving it a college try, I think. Quite humid. Joshua Cosman hasn't gone anywhere, and yet a nation persists in turning eyes to him. Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, exactly so. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, would appreciate it if you had nothing better to do for the next hour or so.
That's right. That's our audience, man. Okay. So, well, I think we're going to start the questioning as usual with Kara Pace.
Yeah.
All right. This may go poorly, but we'll see. I am going to give you a few lines in English. They are translations of lines from various operas. So they are they're not direct translations. It may be slightly reworded to, you know, sound to flow better in English, but it's basically a translation. So for each translation, please tell me which opera it's from, and then also, you know, who wrote it.
So these are arias, or the line from an aria or something of the sort.
Yes, they're okay. Yeah, somewhere in the opera.
All right, somewhere.
Somewhere in the opera.
Okay.
So here's the first. In tears or in laughter, she is always lying. He who trusts her is always miserable. That's the first. Number two, it is a gentleman standing before her and not a soap boiler. Number three, he who fears the sharpness of my spear will never pass through the fire. Number four, swift, swifter, like lightning I am the city's servant. Number five, hidden in this asylum where God has led us, united by misfortune during the long nights, we both rest. Number six, one day a student kissed her on the lips, and in this kiss, revelation. Number seven, her veil lifts slightly. What a vision, what a dream. The crowd is kneeling. And finally, number eight, the child of outcasts along the oleanders dreaming of sweet things. So I'll read them one more time. The first is, in tears or in laughter, she is always lying. He who trusts her is always miserable. Number two is, it is a gentleman standing before her and not a soap boiler. Number three, he who fears the sharpness of my spear will never pass through the fire. Number four is, swift, swifter, like lightning I am the city's servant. Number five, hidden in this asylum where God has led us, united by misfortune during the long nights, we both rest. Number six is, one day a student kissed her on the lips, and in this kiss, revelation. Number seven, her veil lifts slightly. What a vision, what a dream. The crowd is kneeling. And finally, number eight, the child of outcasts along the oleanders dreaming of sweet things. So those are all lines in English. They're actually written in other languages, and they are from operas. Can you name any of them?
Josh, I think I only know one, so do you mind if I go first on this?
I'm sorry to tell you, I only know one also. This is incredible. I thought this was going to be...
It may well be the same.
I didn't think it was going to be this hard. Go ahead. It probably is.
Take it. He who fears the sharpness of my spear. Is that the one?
Nope.
Okay.
So we got two between us.
That's
what is that?
That's De Valkyrie, I think.
It is.
Oh, of course it is.
And who is that? Wotan?
Wotan, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
That is correct.
All right. That's my, at least I have one. There you go.
I think, maybe I'm wrong, because I don't recognize Swifter Than Lightning, but I'm the servant of the town is from Rossini's Marriage of Figaro.
Yes, is correct.
Yeah. All right. We managed to...
Let's put our heads together for a minute here. And just, it's funny how it's so hard to recognize these out of context. Hidden in this asylum. What is it? Hidden in this asylum. I couldn't write it all down.
Well, Kira, why don't you just read the other ones once more?
Okay, here's what we have left. In tears or in laughter, she is always lying. He who trusts her is always miserable. Number two, it is a gentleman standing before her and not a soap boiler. Number three, the one, Joshua, you're asking about. Hidden in this asylum where God has led us, united by misfortune during the long nights, we both rest. I will add that for that one, there is an English translation that is better known, but I have actually translated the words in that from the original as opposed to the rewritten English version.
Josh, I think I know in tears and laugh. Well, I have a guess.
Well, I have a guess about that. So, yes.
All right, go ahead. You go.
Let her finish reading the rest of them.
Okay. The fourth is, one day a student kissed her on the lips, and in this kiss, revelation. Number five, her veil lifts slightly. What a vision, what a dream. The crowd is kneeling. And finally, the child of outcasts along the oleanders dreaming of sweet things.
That is so specific. Go ahead. What were you gonna? What's your guess on one, Dana?
I think it's the Donna Mobile.
Okay, my guess is I don't recognize the lyric, but the sentiment sounds to me like it's from Mozart's Così fan tutte. That's my guess.
All right. Interestingly, the one I never read was the one from Così fan tutte. So sorry.
Oh, okay.
And Dana, you said that was the first one.
I think so. In tears or in tears or in laughter.
Yes.
There's something like in tears or in laughter, it is not true or it
that,
is not true.
That is
in pianto o in riso. Yes. That is La Donna e Mobile from Rigoletto. So that is correct.
Balls. All right.
So four left.
Okay.
Five.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
By four, I meant five.
Yes. If six were nine.
All right, then. Well, it's it wasn't
That
a
was it wasn't a
wipeout.
disaster.
So that's not, yeah. All right.
I live to ask questions that aren't quite a disaster. So nailed it.
We
All
scraped the
right.
bottom of the barrel there, so that was fine. And Josh, you go ahead.
Okay, I've got a literature question for you, which is going to require you to make a numbered list for this from 1 to 13. I'm going to, for each entry on the, for each number on the list, I'm going to give you the initials of the author and the year of publication for a novel that whose title includes that number. So, for example, we're going to start from one, but if we were starting from zero, I would say for zero, BEE 1985, and the answer would be Bret Easton Ellis's novel Less Than Zero, because it has zero in the
Oh,
title.
okay. So there are
And
two things you have to solve here, more or less.
yeah, I mean, if you can get the novel title, that's fine. Some of these are reasonable to get the title without knowing the author. So I'm not going to insist on that. And you know, if you know it, if you know both, that's great.
Is number one KK?
I don't know yet. Hold on.
Okay.
So just a few things. We're not doing any plays or poetry or nonfiction. These are all, and also not just sort of functional collection titles, not Salinger's Nine Stories. These are book, these are pieces of fiction, novels for all intents and purposes, except for the fact that I've included some books for younger readers, but they're still, you know, full-on chapter books. So what
Josh,
is
I'm excited about this. I
Okay,
am.
good.
Thank God we were raising money last week. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. What you said, one is not KK. What did you have in mind?
I thought it might be One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, that would have been good. Okay, here we go. One, EC 2011. Number two, JA 1966. Number three, LC 2008. Number four, EE 1942. Number five, KV 1969. Number six, JE 2000. Number seven, NH 1851. Number eight, DH 1999. Number nine, DLS 1934. Number 10, AC 1939. Number 11, ESJM 2014. Number 12, PC 1962. And number 13, JT 1950. So once again, these are all the titles of authors and the publication year of a novel that includes that number in its title. I'm going to mention that one of these is the original title of the book, which was later revised to get rid of the, not in order to, but such that the number went away. So again, one, EC 2011, two, JA 1966, three, LC 2008, four, EE 1942. Five, KV 1969. Six, JE 2000. Seven, NH 1851. Eight, DH 1999. Nine, DLS 1934. 10, AC 1939. 11, ESJM 2014. 12, PC 1962. 13, JT 1950, reiterating once again that some of these are books meant for younger readers, but they're still, you know, full swatches of fictional prose with chapters and everything. It's not Pat the Bunny. What do you got?
NH, is that correct? NH,
NH,
1951.
yeah.
That's Nathaniel Hawthorne. House of the Seven Gables, maybe?
That is correct. Take a bell. Okay.
And five would be Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five.
Good.
And I think I have your change one. Did you have any more, Dana?
Not at the moment. I'm sort of working on it. Go ahead.
Yeah, same. I only have one right now. I think the one that you mentioned getting changed, that would be 10 Little Indians, Agatha Christie.
Oh,
That
yeah, very
is
good. Very
correct.
good. That's the
Good
one I was
job.
thinking of.
Yeah. And you know what it was changed to?
It's
Not,
completely
and
different.
I'm very much not asking you what it was changed from. I'm asking
Yeah,
you what it was.
I
And
understand
then there
that.
were none, right?
That's right. Dana's got it.
What is it?
And then there were none.
And then there were none. That's it. Yeah.
Right. Good. All right. So you want to think about that a little longer?
Just
Leave
go
it
with us
out?
once more, and then we'll give
Sure,
it the rest.
sure. So the numbers, with each number, we've got the initials of the author and the publication date of a novel by that writer, which includes the number in its title. So number one, EC 2011. Number two, JA 1966. Number three, LC 2008. Number four, EE 1942. Number five was Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five. Kira got that. Number six, JE 2000. Number seven, which Dana got, was NH 1851. That's Nathaniel Hawthorne, The House of the Seven Gables. Number eight, DH 1999. Number nine, DLS 1934. Number 10, which Kira got, was AC 1939, Agatha Christie's 10 Little Indians. Number 11, ESJM 2014. Number 12, PC 1962. Number 13, JT 1950.
All right. All right, leave it out.
Okay.
Thank you
That's all
very
right.
much.
Thank you.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. This is Ed. So again today we're going to talk about astrophysics and astrochemistry as well. It's a really interesting subject. Very, very, very. Okay. So what is the origin of the word chemistry? What is it after? Just history, ancient history.
Dave,
Yes,
I didn't quite get that, Ed. I'm sorry. Would you just repeat that?
What is the origin of the word chemistry?
Oh.
Oh, Kemet.
Kemet, very good. Ancient Egypt name, very good. All right, let's now go to astrophysics. The Sun is one of the smaller stars. How much mass the Sun have compared to Earth? I give you a choice. 30,000, 100,000, or 330,000 times the mass of Earth. Which one? Take a choice. 3,000,
330,000.
330,000. Yes, it is huge. But in normal sense, the Sun actually is a fairly small star. There's stars that are hundreds, thousands of times as big as the Sun. All right, so let's now go to the chemistry of stars. All stars start at the beginning with mostly hydrogen and a bit of helium. So they start their main fuel, that's the fuel. So they burn hydrogen into helium. Helium into carbon into phosphorus, and so on. The Sun is very small, so it will only go, won't go much past the first few element fusion. But when it comes to this element, the star will explode. Again, the Sun only goes that far. Which element? I'll give you a hint. Popeye, the Sailor Man. Which element?
Spinach.
What spinach has? Let me.
Let's see. Papa the Sailor Man. I want to sell.
Yeah,
Oh,
spinach
iron
is the
because
famous.
it's in spinach.
Oh, yeah.
Iron. You're right.
I was
So
partial.
when the star, everything turns to iron, the fusion stops suddenly in seconds. The normal fusion, and the star collapses. Now, if the Sun is too small to go to that stage, the Sun will die long before that, because it's small, very small star. But bigger stars will go. So the core collapses. So it's two potential end. One is neutron star. Remember, the Sun is over 1 million miles wide. So the neutron star will be made all of neutrons. How many miles do you think an average neutron star would be? Take a guess. Of your choice. 10 miles, 100 miles, or 1,000 miles. Neutron star. Everything becomes neutrons. All of the atoms in the star become neutrons. Is it 10 miles, 100 miles, or 1,000 miles?
It's a remember thousand that miles star
very
sure.
big before.
Yeah, 1,000 miles.
All right.
I'll give you the answer. 8 miles. Would you believe that? Now, these stars are much bigger than the sun. They shrink to 8 miles, around 8 miles, and become totally made out of neutrons. What about the even bigger star? What does he end up to be? Neutron stars or black holes? Now, remember, that's bigger, much bigger than the one that made neutrons. I'm sorry, I'm compressing a lot of information in a very short time. So let me give you the answer. If the star is much bigger than certain threshold, say 20 times as much as heavy as mass as the sun, it get to go at end up in a black hole, and that can bring gamma ray burst, which can destroy all planets around it or even farther away. If one of the black holes created even 100 light years from us, it can destroy all life on Earth. All right, how big is a black hole?
How big is a black hole?
As big as it wants.
How big is a black hole?
Pretty much.
How big?
I don't think there's a set. There's a set size.
Well, I'll give you a choice. Is it 100 miles, 10 miles, or a point? 0 miles. What is? Take a choice. 0, 10 miles, or 100 miles.
I'll go with a point.
All right, a point.
Yes, 0 miles. You're right. 0 miles. The whole star just become a point, but it created what's called event horizon. Anything below the event horizon can never escape the star, including light. Light does not. So this is very quick astrophysics.
All right, Ed,
One last question. Okay. The word Semitic refers to group of language, religion, or race.
All three.
Not really. It is very group of language. It really is group of language. Arabic, Hebrew, Aramaic, and other couple of Amharic and so on. All things. And I just must express, I'm ashamed of UC Berkeley equating anti-Semitism with thank you very much. I'm ashamed again from my own beautiful school.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do have effusive callers. And so I'll be giving you questions momentarily. On the panels today, we have Kira Pace, technical editor, and Joshua Cosbard, writes about classical music for Substack and also does crossword puzzles.
Can I answer one of Joshua's questions?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was so excited to figure this out. Number 8, DH. That's Daniel Handler. This is San Francisco Con, Hateful Eight, right?
Almost right.
Hateful. It's the
Hateful Eight is that awful Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's Daniel Handler.
The book is right behind me on the shelf, too.
I know.
It's the, oh, no.
Someone else
will have to call in. San Francisco Con.
You don't want me to give this?
Leave it out.
We'll leave it out. All right. You're right. It's the Something Eight. Such a great book.
Anyway, as I was saying, you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. And our panel, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor, Joshua Cosman, writes about classical music for Substack. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is AALW, your local public radio station. All right, let me give you a couple of questions here, and we will move on to get another call. Okay, first question. What are the two largest public companies by revenue in the United States that have a hyphen in their names? What are the two largest public companies by revenue that have a hyphen in their names in the United States?
Are we still counting Walmart as having a hyphen?
No, Walmart hasn't had a hyphen.
I have no idea if it's significantly large or whether it has a hyphen, but my first thought was Hewlett-Packard.
Oh, that's an interesting guess, but no, not Hewlett-Packard.
All right, that's got to have some. I assume it's one of these businesses that trades in so many different things.
Yeah,
you can't say what sector they're in.
These are publicly traded companies, just so you know. Yes, the two largest U.S. publicly traded companies that have a hyphen in their names. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Joshua, the Kraft was Kraft. Was it Kraft Heinz or something like that? But then they split, right?
No hyphen. Yeah. Kraft, but they're split now anyway.
Kraft Ebbing.
Ebbing. There we go.
No.
Is it? I don't think it's Heinz. I don't remember. I don't remember. I know they sell Heinz, but anyway. Doesn't matter because it's not right.
Okay.
No, that's never mind. That's an ampersand. All right. We'll think about it.
Again, what are the two largest publicly traded companies in the United States that have a hyphen in their names? Second question. What are the four most visited cities in the world that end in a vowel? What are the four most visited cities in the world that end in a vowel?
Presumably their English name ends in a vowel and not like Roma, which would be Rome's name for Rome.
Yes, they're in their English names.
But of course, Rome does it either way.
That is true.
I was going to say Vienna, which is only in the English name and not in the German name.
Well, both Rome and Vienna would not be on the list.
Interesting. Okay.
About Shanghai?
No.
Oh, Tokyo.
No.
What? We're offended.
That's right.
Rio de Janeiro?
No.
No, these are not. These are so like these out of the way tourist destinations like Tokyo and Rio.
I can do vowel city names all day, but I have no clue about the global patterns of tourism.
All right. So again, what are the four most visited cities in the world that end in a vowel?
What about Mumbai?
Mumbai, no.
Oh, okay.
New Delhi, then?
No.
All right. Agra, it's got the Taj Mahal. That's got to be pretty visited.
No. And all right.
Fresno.
Nobody goes to Fresno anymore.
Okay, last question. Give me the names of the largest company in the United States that begin with these letters. Okay. Give me the names of the largest companies in the United States that begin with these letters. M, B, K, S, T, and P. So again, I'm looking for the single largest company in the US that begin with these letters. M, B, K, S, T, and P.
Is K Kraft yet?
No, it is not.
Again? I was going to say we had a...
No, sorry.
I'm not impressed with your alphabetizing skills there, Dana.
What about K for Kinko's? FedEx Kinko's, but just the K.
No.
T.
Okay, so just once more, give me the names of the largest single company in the U.S. that begin with these letters. M, B, K, S, T, and P.
Is it McDonald's?
Ooh.
It is not.
Should be.
All right.
Is B Bank of America?
It is not.
We're flailing here, Kira.
Is one of the visited cities Puerto Vallarta?
No.
Or Puerto Vallarta?
Oh, I forgot. We haven't gotten that one either.
No, we've gotten zero. At least some of my offers were gotten.
It's like a dream come true for me. But okay.
All right.
Let's take a call.
We got to get some ringers in here.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Afternoon. I'm never sure. Okay. You know, I'm kind of bouncing around with all these clues. With Eve, I thought... him talking about larger, smaller than the atom, whatever. I thought you know, Eve could do a version of The Price is Right for people who like, you know what I mean? No, larger, smaller, whether, when you're going back and forth. This just reminded me of Bob Barker. What do you think? Anyway, here we go. Here was a question I, this to continue from, I guess, a week ago. Irving Berlin. Do you remember I had something about that? Ending with cheek and cheek. It was a name chain thing. Okay, so my question is now, if you know the quote, what did Jerome Kern say about Irving Berlin? It's a famous quote.
He said, Irving Berlin is American music.
That's the second half of it, because it's like a semicolon, and then that. What led up to that?
I don't know, something about what does American music mean or something like that.
Irving Berlin has no place in American music. Irving Berlin is American music. Yeah. Kind of witty and clever in that regard. So let me ask you, because this thing about, okay, if you had, we're getting rid of the penny, remind me. Suppose you got three standard coins, okay? And they add up to 55 cents. What are the coins? Now, I actually misspoke that one. Here we go. You've got three coins adding up to 55 cents, and one of them can't be a nickel.
I think I remember this one from my childhood.
From your childhood, I remember when I heard this, because I remember the person who brought it in fifth grade math class. And we did this, and this is the only thing I remember about that math class.
So was, three coins adding up to 55 cents, and one of them isn't a nickel.
Oh, the right. Other one is a
the
nickel.
The other one is a nickel. That's yeah! That's how I recollect it.
And I remember when I said that, I was like, wow. It's really, you got to focus on the language, not on the math. One of them can't be a nickel, but the other one can. You know, it sounds like the kind of speech that they do in negotiations. I mean, you know what I'm talking about when we talk about when we're hearing on the news? You said one of them, but I didn't say the other couldn't be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, geez. It's me, Tom, in Southern California. That was quick. Yeah. It is me, I think. The doctor was a mother. Let's see. the dashes, hyphens in the largest. How about Orida? Is that a company?
No, it's not Orida.
Okay. Bristol-Myers Squibb?
Bristol-Myers Squibb is one, yes. There you
Yay.
Go. Bristol-Myers.
Well done. We're looking for two of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that about Tyson Krupp? I think that's German, actually, probably.
American companies. American companies.
Okay. The ending in the vowel, the most visited, how about Dubai?
Dubai is one, yes.
Yay. Wow. And company with letters. Did you say K, right? K is in Kroger?
Yeah. I'm sorry, for what?
Kroger?
That's Kroger is, yes. Of. Kroger.
Mm. It is? Wow.
Yeah.
And Kroger. T is in Tesla, probably?
No, not Tesla.
Really? I thought that was one of the most valuable companies in the world, unfortunately. Anyway, okay. My question this week will have to do with the Bay Area, which is... under Wikipedia, there are seven Bay Areas, five of which are in the United States.
Hmm. Well, how about Chesapeake Bay Area?
Chesapeake, that's one.
What about the Tampa Bay Area?
Strangely enough, that's the only one that has a red link where it's not actually defined.
Hmm.
Okay.
Chesapeake? Tampa Bay?
Tampa, yep.
My first thought was Sydney, Australia.
Yeah. Can you say the United States?
It is not technically in America.
I thought you said five of the seven were United States. I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
Oh, they were. Yeah, okay. I didn't think anybody
you're
was
just
involved,
at, you're only asking for the five American ones.
Yeah, you're going for the bonus credit, but that's not one of them.
Yeah, all right.
Is Boston there?
No.
No? Okay.
How about Galveston?
Yeah, that's good.
Galveston, very good, yes.
Are there any others on the West Coast? I don't think there are.
No. And yeah, there's one more for the U.S., which is...
Is there something on the
Great Lakes,
by any chance?
Ooh. Kira, is there?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question. What was it?
Is there a bay that would qualify for this on the Great Lakes?
I mean, there might be. I not that I can think of offhand.
Major, you know, I mean, Milwaukee.
Oh.
You're thinking of like Green Bay. Green Bay. I mean,
No, not Green Bay.
Not that that's not the Bay Area. Not that I know of. Doesn't mean it's not there. I just don't know it.
Not one in Michigan somewhere?
Is there a Bay Area in Michigan? I mean, there's Bay City, the Bay City Roller.
Northern, think of the UP.
Yeah, like Escanaba, and there's a bay? Oh my gosh, now I'm embarrassed.
It's near a crossing.
It's like Sault Ste. Marie.
Kind of. Or, well, I'll give it to you since I don't know if you get it. It's Traverse Bay Area.
Okay. I didn't know that Traverse.
Amazingly. Yes.
It's called Traverse City, and I did not know that it was considered a Bay Area.
There you
so
go.
New to me.
All right, you better fill in the rest of it for us, Tom.
Yeah, the other ones is Manila Bay Area and then the Greater Bay Area of Guangzhou, Hong Kong, Shenzhen, the Pearl River Delta area. It's apparently considered the Greater Bay Area. All right, great. Thanks, Joe.
Hold on. By my count, we're still missing one American Bay Area. Unless you were saying...
Oh, well, that would be the obvious one.
Oh, I miss... All right, I keep mishearing the question. So there are five... San Francisco Bay Area is one. What is the other four? That was your original question?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sorry
about
that. Yeah,
so you got them all. Great.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very
much. Great show.
Good job.
Bye.
All right. excuse me. We have some emails here, and I'm just going to run through some of these. Douglas is wondering if M, in terms of the largest companies that begin with the letter M, is Microsoft. It is not. And... I didn't ask A. M, and somebody also suggested M for Mega. What is Mega?
Meta.
Probably. Oh, Meta. Well, they wrote Mega, so that's why I was confused by that.
The T and the G are very close to one another on a keyboard, so I think you should allow it.
Thank you. Should I allow it? But it's not right anyway. Nancy is wondering, is Frito-Lay... has a hyphen in the middle, would that qualify? No, it's not. Because Frito-Lay is owned by PepsiCo, I think, isn't it? I think.
It's a subsidiary of somebody.
Yeah,
PepsiCo, I think by the way, was my answer for P, if I don't know if that counts.
It's
or
not
is
PepsiCo.
Right. Not PepsiCo,
no.
Okay.
And Carlton was wondering about Kimberly Clark for K. No, it's not Kimberly Clark, it's Kroger. And CM was wondering about Kraft Heinz, but we settled that.
Would Kimberly Clark be a candidate for hyphen? The hyphen
it would
question?
Not be. It would not be in the largest 50 public companies. No.
Oh, right.
My studio audience suggests Coca-Cola as
Coca-Cola,
the other
of course, is
hyphen.
The number one company in the U.S. that has a hyphen in its name. Yes. Coca-Cola. Mm. All right. There we go. Good job on that. All right. Thanks to your
my
worker
studio
view.
Audience. Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita.
Hi. I'm wondering if the company with the hyphen is it one of those possibly Morrison Knudsen?
Nope. We just got the both of them, Rita. Coca-Cola and Bristol Myers Squibb.
Okay. Sorry. That.
No, sorry.
Okay. I do not have a lecture on an esoteric subject. I do have a couple of short questions.
Just for
one
that,
of them
Richard,
is,
we love it.
In San Francisco, I didn't even know that this was a specific fine. But what's the fine for driving through a parade?
Wow.
You mean just to get from one side to the other, or causing mayhem, or?
It didn't specify mayhem or anything. I think this is the infraction is simply listed as drive through parade.
And it has a specific dollar amount of
yes, and as a hint here, it's a pretty round number. The fine for blocking a driveway, for example, is 108, but this is a round number.
It would be a moving violation, so it's going to be big. I would guess $500.
No, that's way too high.
Really? Yeah. Well, it should be high. I mean, these are people walking. All right.
What about 100 then?
Yeah, let's go with 100.
It is 100, and I'm assuming like it's a break in the parade where you're not actually causing that kind of potential danger to people. So on a completely different subject, I was kind of stunned to find out how much coal the U.S. exports. It's 100 million metric tons a year, pretty much, and this isn't like recent, so we can't blame it on like current policies or anything. But one of the countries in the top five, much to my surprise, is in Europe. And can you guess what country that is?
You mean that exports coal or buys coal from the U.S.?
They buy it. These countries buy coal from the U.S.
Right.
Oh. And this country imports about 7% of that 100 million.
Rita, if this isn't true, just lie to me and tell me it is. Tell me it's Newcastle, U.K.
Oh, I wish. I wish.
All right. Where are they buying coal? Why are they buying coal? They're buying coal because they're cold in the north, or because they don't have any coal mines?
Okay.
All right.
I don't know.
Finland.
They didn't mine coal, but how about Germany?
Nope.
No, Germany, actually do.
Germany's still, I think they're still mining a fair amount of coal.
Yeah, I would. How about, I guess Iceland has no reason to import energy of any kind. But what about...
You were right with your idea about maybe a northern country.
What about Finland?
And one that wouldn't have its own.
Finland?
Pardon me?
Finland?
No.
Okay.
No, none of the Scandinavian countries.
Oh, how about the Netherlands then?
It is the Netherlands.
All right, they wouldn't have the Netherlands. They
went
with their own, so.
Yeah,
And the two big countries that we export coal to are India, they take about a quarter of it, and China. So, anyways, thanks for a wonderful program. Really, really enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, before we get to another call, let's quickly go over any questions that haven't been answered yet. Kira, start with you.
All right, I have some English translations of lines from operas, and I just want you to tell me the name of the opera from which it comes. The first that I have left, it is a gentleman standing before her and not a soap boiler. Number two is hidden in this asylum where God has led us, united by misfortune during the long nights, we both rest. Number three is one day a student kissed her on the lips, and in this kiss revelation. Number four is her veil lifts slightly. What a vision, what a dream. The crowd is kneeling. And number five is the child of outcasts along the oleanders dreaming of sweet things.
Hmm. All right. I'm looking for the titles of novels with numbers in their names, for novels with numbers in their titles based on the initials of the author and the publication year. So for number one, EC in 2011, number two, JA, 1966, number three, LC, 2008, number four, EE, 1942, five we got, six, JE, 2000, seven's been gotten, 8DH 1999. Kira knew that it was Daniel Handler and it was the something 8, but she blanked on the adjective. Number 9, DLS 1934. Number 10 has been gotten. Number 11, ESJM 2014. Number 12, PC 1962. Number 13, JT 1950.
All right. And I am looking for the four most visited, the four most visited cities in the world that end in a vowel. So far we have Dubai. What are the other three on that list? And give me the names of the largest single company in the U.S. that begin with these letters. The ones we have left are M, B, S, T, and P. M, B, S, T, and P. And that's it. Our my hyphen question was answered. And the numbers to join us, area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free, 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. You there?
Hi, is that me?
Yes, it is you.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Okay, they didn't say anything. Since we're in San Francisco, is San Francisco one of the most visited cities ending with an O?
It's not specifically an O, it's just a vowel. But I mean, of course, that's a vowel. Oh. But no, it's not San Francisco.
Is it Rome?
It is not Rome.
And then for big companies, Salesforce?
Not Salesforce.
Okay, well, have a great day. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks for your call. And all right, Kira, do you have a short question you want to throw in?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so basically, in one movie, a woman sees an opera for the first time, and the actress who plays this woman won an Academy Award for the role. A couple years later, another woman sees an opera for the first time, and the actress who plays her is nominated for an Academy Award for the role. What are the movies? And if you know, what are the operas?
So the Oscar winner is Cher in Moonstruck, who sees La Boheme at the Metropolitan Opera, directed by the late Lotfi Mansouri. And I forget the chronology here now, but my guess for the nominated would have been Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman, who sees La Traviata at the San Francisco Opera.
Yep, that is correct.
Good job.
You nailed it. Short question, short answer.
Short question, short answer. Right. I've got a shorty.
All right, good.
I want to get in while Kira's here. I have no idea whether this is gettable. This is just an interesting fact that I came across, and I thought either Kira's going to know this and is going to look so great, or she's going to look at me and go like, "Why would I know something like that?" In the list of UNESCO World Heritage Sites. What is the only world capital whose entire city is on the list? So I'm not talking about they're on the list of UNESCO World Heritage Sites. That list includes things like historic Cairo or Paris, the banks of the Seine. Those are not the answer. I'm looking for the one world capital whose entire city constitutes a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Is it Riga?
Not Riga.
Okay. There are a few that are, it's like the historic city of.
Right, exactly.
And I'm trying to think.
I'll tell you that you're on the wrong continent.
Oh, okay.
Well, I read not too long ago, because they just had an anniversary there. Is it Brasilia?
It is not Brasilia.
Brasilia.
Okay. Brasilia is, my understanding, is huge, right?
It is, yeah. So,
yeah, but
it's all historic,
think that,
yeah.
Well, and I think the architecture of Niemeyer is on the list.
Yeah,
so,
that like, may
that's
be.
It's not a bad answer.
Okay, all right. You're not far geographically.
From Brasilia?
From Brasilia?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Montevideo.
No, that's two.
Oh, ten. Are we in the Caribbean? Is it Willemstad?
No.
Okay.
Because that is on the list.
Okay.
So when you say we're not far with Brasilia, are you implying it's in South America?
I am implying it as hard as I can, short of stating it outright.
So a capital in South America, what would work here?
Quito?
It is Quito.
Is it?
I was hoping you would know why, because I sure don't. I just looked through the list to see what there was, and yeah, Quito, Ecuador.
Huh. I don't know why. No. Well, maybe one of our callers will know.
All right.
Leave it out. And good job. Let's go to a call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yes. Hi, this is Carla in Oakland, and I think that one of those cities has got to be Venice.
Oh, Venice.
Not Venice.
not capital, the most visited.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yes, but no.
No?
No.
How about Pisa?
No. No, nothing in Italy, believe it or not.
Okay, darn it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It. Appreciate it. And let's see, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Christina from Oakland.
Hi, Christina.
I have a question for you.
Good.
Recently, 8 cask-headed iguanas hatched in England. Besides being very cute, what was the other special thing about them?
Interesting.
Were they brought back from extinction?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Are they some royal harbinger like
end of the world?
No,
like isn't it like if some bird leaves the Tower of England, then the royalty will fall or some such thing? You know what I'm talking about, right? No, I guess
right. Not. No, that's not right either.
So they were not, they're not brought back from extinction. They are not a harbinger. Is anything to do with the color?
No.
Is this the
they
largest?
Moved without what?
Oh. They were conceived without a male?
That's right.
So is this unknown for this species or how, what?
Not sure about the species. It's happened with lizards before. It's just rare.
I knew I was useless. Now I know. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And let's see, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
It's Martin in San Francisco.
Hi, Martin.
How about the chorus from Turandot, Through the Night?
Oh, no, that's not on my list.
How about Thais Flower Duet, Oleander?
I see. No, it's not. But that is a good guess.
Okay.
For the Oleander.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Appreciate it. And let's see. Let me just sort of run through some of the emails here. And Nancy suggested Miami for the city with the ends with the vowel. Michael got one of them, which is Mecca.
Oh, Mecca. Of course.
Matter of fact, that's number one, as you
wait,
may.
Does that mean Medina is on there too?
It is not on there, no.
Okay.
But Mecca is, so that's good job on that, Michael. And Jane is wondering if the M company is Monsanto. It is not Monsanto. And let's see, okay. All right, next call. No call? We're all done? Okay, all right. Okay, so let's go over what we have here. Maybe we can...
real quick, for your visited cities, Dana, since we had Dubai, what about Abu Dhabi?
Not Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
Nothing from the Flintstones. And...
or Inka Dinka Doo.
Yeah.
Is that where Nermal gets packaged and mailed to?
Yeah.
Let's
see if we can puzzle out your opera things.
Yeah.
Okay. Another, if it makes it easier, is it is a gentleman standing before her and not a soap boiler. Another word for gentleman in this case is a cavalier, or it is a cavalier standing before her and not a soap boiler.
It's hard to think of an opera that has like classist implications, but no, I'm just kidding. They all do.
I was going to say there are a few on my list.
A gentleman, he's a gentleman. He's not a soap boiler.
Yeah. Or he's a cavalier. He's not a soap boiler.
Wait, this isn't Don Giovanni seducing Zelina, and is it?
No.
Could you go over the one with the oleander in it again?
Sure, if I can find it. The child of outcasts along the oleanders dreaming of sweet things. Another word I could have used there is pariah, but outcast is actually pretty decent.
Okay. Is that maybe Donizetti?
No.
All right. Sure that.
Her veil lifts.
Okay, how about this? I'll give you languages. It's a gentleman standing before her, not a soap boiler. That is German.
Oh.
Hidden in this asylum where God has led us, united by misfortune during the long nights, we both rest, is French. One day, student kissed her on the lips, and in this kiss revelation is Italian. And child of outcasts along the oleanders, dreaming of sweet things, is also French.
And what about the veil lifting slightly?
French.
Hmm. No, it didn't help.
No. I'm trying to pick. I mean, I can picture I can imagine her veil lifting slightly and she's terrific, but then why is the crowd kneeling? Who is she that's so important?
All right.
I believe she's the lady in the back of a temple.
Oh. Aida?
No, a fond du temple.
It's Bizet's The Pearl Fishers.
Yes, okay. That is correct.
All right. All answers must come now. So, Kira, start with you.
All right. It is a gentleman standing before her, not a soap boiler. That is Der Rosenkavalier by Richard Strauss. Hidden in this asylum where God has led us, united by misfortune during the long nights, we both rest. That is from Jocelyn Godard. One day, student kissed her on the lips, and in this kiss, revelation is from The Swallow, La Rondine, Rondina?
Rondine,
thank you, Puccini. The child of outcasts along the oleanders, dreaming of sweet things, that is Lacme, Delibes, and that was all.
You know what, I want to just say, the caller, Max, said the flower song, flower duet from Thais. And the flower duet is actually from Lacme, and I didn't feel like correcting him on the air because I didn't think he'd gotten it right anyway, but it sounds like he did.
All right, Josh, what do you have?
Quickly here. The number novels. Number one in 2011 is Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. In 1966, we have by Jorge Amado, Donna Floor and Her Two Husbands. 2008 in Lucichin's The Three Body Problem. 1942, a central text of my childhood, The Four Story Mistake by the wonderful Elizabeth Enright. Number six was hard. That was Janet Ivanovich's thriller Hot Six. The Daniel Handler novel about school shootings is The Basic Eight.
Basic.
I thought this one would be easier. DLS in 1934, that's Dorothy L. Sayers, The Nine Tailors. Okay, quickly.
All right,
Station 11, The 12, and The Genie, and James Thurber's The 13 Clocks.
All right, thank you very much. The four most visited cities in the world that end with a vowel, Mecca, Anatolia in Turkey, Dubai, and Macau. The corporations with the letters M, McKesson Corporation, B, Berkshire Hathaway, K, Kroger, S, State Farm, T, The Home Depot, and it is The Home Depot, and P is Phillips 66. we didn't get to your call. I do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks to